The Bible reading is written in the Gospel of John, chapter 10. We're going to be reading verses 1 to 16, and this is on page 1076 in your Bibles. That's John chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks very much, Patsy. Let's pray, shall we, as we look at God's word together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you that they're your words for us today. Please help us by your Holy Spirit to hear from you and to follow you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it might be a bit of a strange way to start a sermon, but if I say to you that my wife Eilish is like an onion, what comes to mind? No, I do not think she's the shape of an onion, Sue. I'll tell her that. And no, she doesn't bring me to tears, you know, when in exasperation or anything like that. It's just that her character is one of intricate and complex beauty, layer after layer after layer, that I could never quite get underneath. Metaphors and figures of speech can be really tricky. And you've got to be careful. I have learned to be a bit careful about it because it can get you in trouble. But in our Bible reading, Jesus, in discussion with the Pharisees, they were the Jewish religious leaders of the time, Jesus uses loads of figures of speech and extended metaphors based on sheep farming. And we're going to concentrate on two key ones, where the two I ams in this sermon series we've been doing on I ams, where Jesus claims for himself that I am the gate and I am the good shepherd. He doesn't say I am a gate, he says I am the gate. He doesn't say I am a good shepherd, he says I am the good shepherd. And the third key metaphor that we'll be covering is sheep. A And sheep represent people. They represented people before God's time in the Bible. They represented people then. They represent people now. And we, if you look at verse 16 in the passage, it's page 1076, by the way, in the church Bible. If you look at verse 16, Jesus talks about other sheep. That's us. That's the sheep of the future, sheep who weren't in the Jewish community of the time. Now, you might like the idea of being like a sheep. You know, you might feel warm and cuddly and fluffy. Great. But you might be a bit offended to be likened to a sheep. You know, the standard of living's not great. And you might end up on somebody's Sunday roast. Who knows? But don't worry about all of those figures of speech and metaphors and so on. Because what's really important this morning, seriously, is the two truths about Jesus that the sheep farmer descriptions point us to. That Jesus is the only way we can be with God forever. And that Jesus' ways are good, so we should follow him obediently. We're going to first quickly look at the context of the passage, because it helps us to understand what's going on for those people of the time. But also, it's really important because I think it gives us a much deeper, amazing feel for the promise-keeping love of God who intervenes in our lives personally to save us. Now, the Bible is full of sheep and shepherding images. Sheep are one of the main descriptions that the Bible gives for God's chosen people. The people of Israel, starting back in Moses' time in the Old Testament, and even far as back to Abraham. Nowadays, we tend to call ourselves the church or the family of God, as we've been doing this morning in some of the conversations. But we're also, if we're Christians, we're in God's flock, chosen people of sheep, as it were. Sheep. And the Bible tells us that God expected the leaders of each generation of the people, just as he does now, to shepherd people well, to guide them, to care them, to protect the people and to follow God's ways. But what we read in the Old Testament, that's the sort of the first part of the Bible before Jesus' time, what we read there is that God, he rebuked many of those leaders because they were, it was like dereliction of their duty of care, if you like. They weren't looking after the people, they were looking after themselves. And a prime example of this is a book in the Old Testament called Ezekiel. He was a prophet, a messenger of God who speaks God's words, and he wrote down what God told him to. And God said that the leaders are such bad shepherds that I'm going to do it myself. And then in chapter 34, verse 23, God says, I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. Now, David was the king of Israel, probably the greatest king, 300 or 400 years before Ezekiel wrote that. So what he was saying is that the shepherd, the chosen shepherd of God that would come and rescue the people, would be in the line of King David. So now let's fast forward to Jesus' time. Here he is talking to the Pharisees, and he's about to claim that he is that promised shepherd. He's God's chosen shepherd king from King David's line, fulfilling that prophecy by Ezekiel 600 years before Jesus. And Jesus tells the Pharisees, he says, you know, you're the leaders of the day. You're just like those bad shepherds that Ezekiel talked about, caring for yourselves rather than the people. And what triggers Jesus to take such a tough line with them is what had happened in chapter 9 of John, the chapter before the one that Patsy read. Jesus had miraculously just healed somebody who'd been blind since birth. Amazing, amazing miracle. But the religious leaders, you know, they didn't sort of like wonder and celebrate at this fantastic miracle. They just rejected it, disbelieved it. They verbally abused the man and they chucked him out of membership of the synagogue. They didn't care about the man at all. They were more concerned about the actions of Jesus and how it was going to impact on them and their influence. So as Jesus speaks in the first 5 or 6 verses of our reading, he's essentially saying that rather than being good shepherds, good leaders, they're more like thieves and robbers. They weren't leading the people in God's ways, because if they had, they would have recognized Jesus, the promised shepherd for God's people. Okay, so let's fast forward to now, to us, as we focus on those two I ams. And what they mean today for us is absolutely as vital as it was for the people who were listening to Jesus at the time. Verse 9, Jesus says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. So what's Jesus saying? No catch questions. Jesus is saying, he is the gate. or here's the door, or here's the entrance, depending on what sort of Bible you've got. He's the gate to somewhere. And as I touched on earlier, Jesus is not just a gate, he is the gate. He determines who enters. So where does Jesus' gate go to? What is it the entrance to? Well, in our passage, it metaphorically relates to join a particular flock of sheep in a special sheepfold. But in reality, for us, for you and me today, it means heaven. It means God's kingdom. It means the place, the spiritual realm of God, where if you are a Christian, if you believe and trust in Jesus, you are in that now. You're a subject of King Jesus, God's chosen people, the church or his flock. Well, what happens when we go through the gate, through Jesus to heaven? Let's read the second half of that verse again. When Jesus says, whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. Saved from what? Saved from the punishment of death that you and I deserve for our rebellion against God. We call that sin. That would mean eternal separation from God, and we call that hell. It's the worst thing. But if we're saved, we're saved into a eternal relationship with God, a perfect relationship with God, beyond death, eternally, in the new heaven and new earth that Jesus will bring in glory when he returns. We will be saved, and then Jesus goes on to say, and they will come in and they will go out and find pasture. Those who are part of God's people, the church, that special flock, not only have an eternal future with God, but they're provided now in this life with security, that's the coming in, and provision, sustenance, that's the going out into pasture. Security, not like the insides of this wall so that we can't get out, but our identity in Jesus, secure, rooted in Jesus. And provision sustained by the goodness of Jesus, where we lack nothing. The Good Shepherd, who we'll talk about a little bit in a minute. But what do we do? What do we need to do to go through the gate of Jesus into heaven and be saved? Well, in the Bible, in Acts 16, for instance, in the New Testament, the answer is there. It says, believe in the Lord Jesus. Now, it doesn't mean we get to the gate and say, hi, Jesus, I believe that you existed. Let me into heaven. That doesn't work. It doesn't say, Jesus, my mum and dad believe in you, so I can come in. No, that doesn't work. It says that personally, we need to believe that Jesus is God and acknowledge to God that we are sinful, that we are rebellious against God, and believe that Jesus' death and resurrection is the only way to be rescued from the penalty of that sin that we deserved. We sing a song here, one of our action songs, one of my favourites actually. It goes, you know, there is only one way, there's only one way to be with God in heaven forever, and that's through God's Son, Jesus. And if we take that step, Jesus the gate becomes Jesus the Good Shepherd. Verse 11. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. He is the distinctive shepherd. He's distinctive because he laid down his life. Earlier, Jesus had described those religious leaders as bad shepherds. A little bit before this bit, he talks about other false messiahs, people who tried to lead the people but were bad. He goes on to talk about uses a whole range of metaphors, which for us today would describe anything and anyone who the devil would use to distract us from following the truth of Jesus and to trust him. To use the shepherd metaphor, a good shepherd would do their best to care and protect the sheep, maybe even to the point of risking their lives if the sheep were attacked by a lion or a bear in those days. But Jesus redefines good, because no shepherd would willingly and intentionally sacrifice their life, because it would be a waste, because the rest of the flock would be in danger. But that's what Jesus did, because he knew it was the only way that you and I could avoid the death that we deserve, that eternal death. Jesus willingly laid down his life for you and me, so that he would take the full force of God's judgment on himself for the sin and rebellion, of our own sin and rebellion. And Jesus knew, though, that he wouldn't be leaving us in danger, but that he would beat death, that he would rise again, fulfilling all those promises in Ezekiel and other books of the Old Testament throughout, providing the way for us to be saved, providing for us the way also to beat death, to go beyond death and be with God forever. With that perspective, with that confidence, Jesus calls us to follow him during our time here on earth, to follow and trust him as sheep trust and follow the shepherds of that time. And in the Middle East now, the shepherd would lead the sheep would follow. But here, of course, we use dogs, so it's not quite the same to use that. But in this Middle East, the sheep follow the shepherd. But in reality, for us, what does it mean? What does it mean to follow Jesus, the Good Shepherd? Where is he going to lead us? Well, Jesus here mentions two beautiful things developing what we've been looking at with the gate. He says, we will know Jesus and we will have fullness of life if we follow him as the shepherd. Verse 14, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. In the Bible, to know doesn't mean like, you know, I know the bloke down the road. It means a really deep relationship where you know the person's character, where you spend loads of time with them, where you trust them and rely on them completely. That's knowing biblically. Jesus, who laid down his life to save us, he now enters into such a relationship with us. He leads us personally, doing everything to help us deepen and enjoy that relationship with him. And that's amazing in itself. You know, isn't it amazing that we can have a deep, loving relationship with Jesus, the Son of God? But it's even more amazing than that, because in verse 15, Jesus goes on to say, the relationship is just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And what he's saying there is that Jesus and the Father God, who have been together in perfect, loving relationship for eternity past, as always has been and always will be, if you trust in Jesus, if you're a Christian, you are in that same eternal relationship, the perfect loving relationship. It's impossible to put into words. Just think about it for a moment. If you're a Christian here today, you are now part of that eternal loving relationship between Jesus and God the Father. Wow. So we know Jesus when we follow him. Back to the second part of verse 10, Jesus says, I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus leading us to a fullness of life. Yes, again, that, as we spoke earlier, that means eternal life, whereas the Bible says, the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 21, it tells us that there's no more tears or sadness or mourning or death. When Jesus brings the new heaven and earth and we're with him forever, if you think of good, you think of the good shepherd, Jesus has defined the word good and good shepherd. Think of all the other words that you might think about heaven, great, amazing, fantastic. Redefine those. It's going to blow our minds what heaven's going to be like. But it also means eternal life. It means right now. It means from the moment that we walk through the gate of Jesus, fullness of life starts, where we can go in and go out with Jesus, who never leaves us, where we can enjoy all the things that he provides in this earth for us, in freedom, where it doesn't matter what we do or don't achieve, where it doesn't matter what people might say or think about us, because our identity and our destination is secure in the Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Now, of course, it doesn't mean that we will avoid hard times. Jesus never says that in the Bible. He says we will face hard times. And there will be many of us here today who are really struggling with things. But what it means is that in those hard times, Jesus leads us through them. We have his presence. We have his provision. We have his hope. We have his joy. We have his love every single day as we struggle through those things. And as the writer of Psalm 23, King David, the song we sang actually a bit earlier, with Jesus, our shepherd, we lack nothing. So what's our response today? Well, Jesus says in this passage that his sheep listen to his voice. And that's what we need to do, to listen to the voice of Jesus so that we remain in that deep relationship with him as we seek to follow him. But what does that look like in reality? Well, we were talking about this at our home group in the week, actually, so it's really timely for me as I was preparing. But, you know, primarily, it's this amazing, wonderful book, the Bible, God's words, Jesus' words. Read it, meditate on it, talk about it. It is the best book ever and will ever be. Test, as you read it, as you talk about it, as you listen to sermons like this, test what people say, including me today. Check that what I say today is in the Bible, that I and other speakers are not trying to either intentionally, unintentionally or deliberately misinterpreting things in order to meet their own desires or views. Ask the Holy Spirit of God to hear Jesus' voice above all the other voices that would seek to distract you off the path and try and move you away from Jesus. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Ask him to get Jesus' voice to be the loudest. Listen for Jesus' voice through other trusted Christians. Listen for Jesus' voice in the beauty of creation, in our consciences. But always bring it back and test it in God's word, against God's word. Maybe we should have a sermon series in the autumn about listening to the voice of Jesus. But as I finish, if you are here today and you haven't yet entered through the gate, if you've not given your life to Jesus, you are missing out on the most wonderful thing. If that's you today, why don't you make today the day that you step through the gate? You may still have questions, that's fine. I've still got questions about Jesus and about Christianity. If that's today you want to step through the gate and take Jesus to be your Saviour, your King, your Shepherd, come and talk to me after. Come and tell someone that you know, that you trust. That's what you've done today. We'll move on from there. But if you have already done that, if you are a Christian here today, remember that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who died to save you, now lives to lead you. So you can know him, so that you can have fullness of life with him, that you can go in and out with him into the pastures. So listen to him and follow him. Amen.